Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Nothing says I love you like a big brand fragrance from Chemist Warehouse this Valentine's Day.
This glorious piece of noise you're about to hear is the Triple M Big Breakfast podcast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Who are you?
Yeah, I'm not Brendo, who is
Mitch,
the master at running
Where
the show.
Is he?
But it's not Mitch in the morning, it's Mitch in the very early morning today.
Get me out of here, Brendo. Come back soon.
So this morning we spoke to the guys at Forex and they did a really cool thing to help our cousins in Townsville.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't they love handing out money and free beer?
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
We're talking about buying second-hand things. Sheets came up. Oh, there were a few rotten ones.
Hats.
Cricket gear, hats.
The cricket
shoes.
All right. That was so good.
A few things that were gross. It definitely split the room.
And also, we were talking about self-defence. Well, no, Robin tried to humiliate me.
I did not. It was hilarious.
I think you humiliated yourself. We laughed along.
There was a pretend break-in at my house, and for 15 minutes I had that sucker cornered. Anyway, we also had Nick's favourite guest, the man who he calls... What do you call him? Two Willies, Dick Johnson.
Two Willies, Mr. Johnson.
Here it comes, the Triple M Big Breakfast podcast. Please enjoy.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
The Triple M Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin, Nick, Cody. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. And coming up, Nick Cody's Tenor for Townsville. Monday night's going to be a lot of fun. We're at the Forex Ale House in Milton.
Yes, we're putting on a stand-up comedy fundraiser. $10 for entry, a drink and some food. And all the proceeds are going to the people affected by the North Queensland floods. It's myself, comedian Damien Power. Our comedian Mel Buttle, a night of stand-up comedy.
How long are you each doing?
Like,
you...
don't know yet.
Well,
we're comedians.
Whatever.
We'll figure it out on Monday night.
So can we heckle?
I'd prefer not.
No,
don't you have enough chances in the morning to take shots at me? You want to take it in tonight as well?
They have microphones. You don't.
You don't. No, I need to remember that. It would still be fun though.
Grab your tickets at triplem.com.au. They are going fast.
And on the phone right now, we've got Forex State Sales Director Pat Donohue. How are you, Pat?
Good morning, crew. How are we?
Yeah. Good. Good. First of all, just want to say a big thanks for giving us the Ale House in Milton on Monday night.
Absolute pleasure. Couldn't think of a better partnership between Triple M and Forex.
Oh, mate, it's superb. Thank you.
So what are we're going to get everyone as they come in, they're going to get a beer, of course, at Forex.
Well, absolutely. And I think to swallow Nick's jokes, we're probably going to have to hand out a few.
Oh!
It always helps. I'm not against it.
Just on that point, do comedians prefer people to, like, should he be handing out barbed wire or Milton mangoes? Do you know Forex is called the heavies barbed wire and the mangoes the middies?
I always think people with a couple of beers in them, they're going to loosen up a bit.
Righto.
That's what you want.
And that's what you
for
want.
For a fun night. It's Monday.
And we're also, And we're also going to give them some stuff to eat so we can all go to work on Tuesday.
We've heard, Pat, that you've got something else lined up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, apart from supporting a tenor for Townsville, we wanted to share with you guys today that we're going to kick off the fundraising by donating $50,000 to Give It, which is the charity that is supporting all those Queenslanders that are impacted up in the north at the moment.
Oh,
so
God.
Everyone here in Forex is really delighted. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a small gesture, but for our people up there, we absolutely love them and want to look after them.
Okay, can you do that via us so it makes us look really good?
I thought you meant give us the $50,000 and hope it makes it up there.
We promise.
We promise to pass it on. Like, I mean, it's just if we can have like Forex and Triple M, is that all right?
Is there a Robin tax attached?
Well, we're mortgage brokers, so we'll just take a small trailing commission and see how much is left after that. Oh, mate, that's so generous of them, Pat.
Thanks so much, mate. We'll see you there Monday night.
Yeah, can't wait to see you all here on Monday.
Appreciate it, mate.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
We all went out to dinner on Tuesday night with our partners, and although Kath, bless her, was really tired, so
she had to watch
come,
Married at First Sight, my wife. But the Greek Club was unreal.
Yeah, we went to the Greek Club, and a couple of our kids went. It was just a fun night for us to all kind of catch up and get to know Nick a little bit better. But you then started to tell the most ridiculous story.
No, I didn't start telling the story. I didn't want to know about this story.
Well, I wanted to know, and it was so hilarious.
Hillary told you, my daughter told you, and then I'm busted.
Yeah, because you did something like you were trying to be a hero. But
I'll tell Nick. I get home from work about just before lunchtime on Tuesday on that day, and we got a young Canadian kid. Oh, you met him the other night. We brought him along. So he lives downstairs in a spare room downstairs. I get home, and where I ride my bike in, his window is completely open. I went, ooh, that's weird. I thought, oh, God, I've got to get into him about, you know, locking things up when he leaves. And then I realised the curtain's down. So I look at it and I've got a break-in straight away.
Sure.
I've gone, somebody's opened, jimmied the window open and then jumped through and taken the curtain with it, and then they've gone into the house and...
Extra rude, you know what I mean? Okay. Steal my stuff, but leave the curtains
all up. All right, yeah. Park my bike and I go... What's going on? Are they still here? I'll just defend myself early. About 10 years ago, I had an incident two doors down from our house where someone broke into their house. Mm-hmm. I went in to make sure it was all right, and there were two people still in the house, okay? And
did you get them?
No, they brushed past me because I didn't have a weapon. All right, so I'm on my own. Lunchtime, and I'm going, and I thought I heard something upstairs because you can hear when people walk around, when I open the lock, and I was quiet. Yeah. I quietly opened the lock and went, Jesus.
Someone's here.
It's all right now, but if you're living the moment and you've lived through a person brushing past you exiting a house, a robber, it still worries me. So I've gone, Christ.
What am I going to do?
Well, you go, all right.
I better hide. Let them escape again.
Robin's enjoying this too much. I didn't hide. I went to the shed and went, this time I'm going to be armed. And I tried a number of tools and went, how much? No, I need something so I can keep them away from me if they had a knife.
It's not exactly the quick response team.
Good.
What were you going through? Which weapons?
I ended up with a shovel in one hand and a nail gun. But
Where's your chainsaw? How tough are you?
We've criticised people who use chainsaws because it takes ages to start. So I'm pretty good with the shovel, and I went one-hander, and I can keep them, and a nail gun. And I went, the nail gun's ridiculous. If he knows anything about nail guns, he'll know there's no hose connected. And
you've got to go inside, get the extension cord.
I then rung Kath at work, and I said, listen, there's trouble here at home. And she said, what? I said, oh. The room downstairs, window wide open, curtains down. Someone's inside the house. I can hear them. All right, I've gone, was the window open when you left this morning? No, it wasn't. And, of course, break-in. That's what we've got ourselves. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I've got a shovel in one hand and
a nail gun.
In fact, I've had to put the nail gun to talk to you on the phone.
Should I call the cops or my wife at work?
All right.
I should call my wife at work.
All right. So, anyway, they've talked me down. I didn't tell you this the other night, Robin. I then invented a friend. I said, right, Nathan is my neighbour. I've invented that he's out the front. Because I'm thinking they're upstairs. I'm at the bottom of the stairs. And I'm thinking,
right, so you're having a pretend conversation with
the
guy.
I said, Nathan, get your gun. So I pretended he had a gun. So he's out the
front.
You
didn't do Nathan as well, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did Nathan. It turned into a one-man show.
Nathan actually had a real gun out the front. Nathan, you right, you in position. I'm going to call the cops.
Yes,
and I'm going to flush this guy out of here. Yeah. I said, I've got my gun and I've got a shovel. It went for 15 minutes. Okay.
Did you go into the house? Yeah. Did you go looking
eventually,
for the same
criminals? Eventually, when Kath rang back, I said, shh. I had to shush her. I said, I still haven't found them. She said, have you been upstairs? I said, I'm too scared. I'm waiting to flush them out. I'm conducting a conversation with them where they think I think that I've got a bloke at the front.
So what did Nathan sound like?
No, he didn't make any noise. I said, keep it down. I actually said to him, keep it down out there, but you still got your gun and your dog.
I've got my mute assassin friend, Nathan.
And then I had Ted, because the dog was sitting next to me going, why aren't you going upstairs into the house? He's looking at me going, he usually gets home, then he goes upstairs, and then we get on with the dog.
I said, what happened?
All right, there was no one in the house, and the young bloke downstairs, his curtain had fallen down, and for some reason he said, oh, just open up the window. It was just nothing. So for 15 minutes, I was petrified that there were people
inside.
Different
voices. And did you do Ted's voice like Scooby-Doo?
Let's get him.
No, I didn't.
I was whacking. I gave the guy three. I said, I'll give you three to come out, mate. And then 15 minutes later, still with my shovel, I went and checked all the bedrooms, all the wardrobes.
What, shovel
under
out
bed.
In front?
Yes, I did.
Shovel and a gun.
Nail
it's,
gun.
It's real, Robin. If you've ever been involved, it's real. If you think someone's inside your house, you can be petrified.
One of those World War One, you know, the gun with the knife on the
bayonet.
All right, stop it right there.
It's like a tradie bayonet. A nail gun with a shovel.
You watch. If we ask people, what's your weapon of choice? Because this happens. People, it's fearful.
Under your bed. I think most blokes have thought about it. I mean, you know, as a single mother for a number of years, I did. It was a baseball bat. What I was going to do with it, I have absolutely no idea.
You're getting close. I had a shovel. I could prod you and hit you.
Okay, David of Logan, what is your weapon of choice? Because I'm sure everyone's thought about it.
I've got a baseball bat and samurai sword under my bed.
I see you do live at Logan, but have you ever had to use them, or have you ever thought you heard something and grabbed them?
Yes, because I've had a home invasion about 2 years ago where I had same sort of setup, but they'd already got in the house, so it was sort of, I know what you're feeling, buddy. I've been there, done it.
That's terrifying.
I was ready to charge them, but they stayed away because I'm pretty sure they knew that. I was telling them, get out, take what you want, get out of the house before I get you.
See?
So did you have your samurai sword?
In the bedroom.
It's under the bed now, ready to go.
But you didn't, when that person came in, did you have anything, like any sort of device?
No, they were in the cupboard because they'd already kicked our door in. And it was like, we're already shell-shocked.
Oh, whoa.
But I was up ready to go, and like they knew I was going to charge it. But I said, look, just take what you want and get out of the house.
Yep, is that what you say? That's the easiest way. That's what they say at shops as well.
They can sort of tell if you're there up, like, you know, against them, they know that they've got less chance because you've got adrenaline pumping.
I've got to ask, David, where did you get the samurai sword?
Karara Markets. Special.
Oh, thank you. Some people go to the markets for, you know, a bit of fig chutney or some.
Samurai sword.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. It's Joel. Real. Joel of Alimba. Morning.
There you go.
Good. What is your weapon of choice?
We got burgled about probably 12, 13 years ago, and my wife woke me up. We didn't have any weapons inside, and when they, unlike Marto, there was actually someone there.
Yeah, shut up. Just tell your story.
In the wind.
Yeah. There were three of them, so my wife gave me a saucepan, and I knocked one out, and got my wife to hold him down, and then I hit the other one, and he dropped all the other stuff that he had, and then I chased the taller one down the road, and he got away.
I think we've all learned a lesson about the saucepan. It's not just a cooking utensil.
Was your wife all right? It
makes a good noise when you hit him right in the middle of the head.
This is very educational.
So, Joel, you called the police and the guy got taken away. Was your wife okay? How was she holding him down?
She was sitting on him. He was knocked out.
Yeah, he was already knocked out.
Oh, my God.
It's not holding him down. It's more babysitting a sleeping adult.
So I told her not to feed him. Yeah. He'll come back.
Joel, you are inspirational. Thanks, mate.
Good on you.
It's very real.
Okay, sorry.
This is The Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin, Nick Cody.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
There was a warning issued when I got home last night. Remember yesterday I said, geez, I'm having trouble with my undies? Do you remember that?
I never expected you to say that on the radio, but let's go there.
All right. So there was a little meeting between my wife, Kath, who does a lot of the folding. I often do the washing, the hanging out and the bringing in. Then Kath works distributes
and
throughout the house.
And she watches Harry at first sight while she does it.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. You met Harry, my son, a 19-year-old. He's a size 33, size 34. So he's slimmer than I am. I'm 36, okay?
Sure.
It makes a difference when you're buying undies. Because in Bali, we bought a lot of cheap, you know, new cheap undies.
Oh, and Bali makes you feel bad about yourself too, doesn't it?
Why?
You go, it's like, what size are you, large? And they go, no, you're not.
Well,
I'm not an Asian large.
I'm extra large in Bali, and she bought a lot of L's, and they ended up being Harry's. But Kath thinks they're mine. So that's how I came to having very tight underpants on. Is that okay just to wear? I reckon it's okay to wear your family's undies.
Okay, not families.
Although,
can I tell you, when I was pregnant, men's undies are really the comfortable. Most comfortable.
They're the most comfy all the time.
That's because we've got
you don't
room.
Have to be pregnant to know
we've
that.
We've got room for extra stuff.
Yeah, well, clearly.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, the reason
I'm
talking
about... going with this?
Well, we're going for this because I had to go to that fancy dress party a couple of weeks ago and I went to Lifeline and I was thinking about wearing my son's undies. That's okay. They're too small, but I'll do that. I never brought this up, but I saw three pairs of budgie smugglers, you know, men's swimming trunks or tops. No, I looked at them and thought to myself, I haven't got very high standards. And I thought, whose standards are so low that you go, gee, I need
secondhand
some tops.
Budgies.
I'm going to Endeavour there at Stafford. That's where I go, near the Stafford.
So thank God. I just figured out you went to the Lifeline shop. I just heard you were going to a fancy dress party and you went to Lifeline. Okay, it's not that
the
sad.
Shop, the
it's
Endeavour,
a bloody good time.
It's the Endeavour shop and they had three pairs of togs. And then I looked, who's buying thongs?
Secondhand thongs?
There were thongs.
Who throws
there?
Out thongs? They blow out
That's
or you
right.
wear them forever.
Who gives up on a pair of thongs and goes, oh, we'll donate them? There were togs, three pairs of togs. There was one pair of thongs. But then I looked, who buys shoes?
No, I'm not. I am a massive secondhand shopper. I have my haunts around Brisbane and I go and check them out regularly.
You worry about where the stuff's been.
Well, you wash it.
I didn't wash. I bought a shirt that day. I didn't wash it.
Making me feel physically sick. Well, you don't know where it's been.
All right. I haven't done this since I was 20. I used to buy a lot of secondhand stuff and I'm sort of back and going, there's some good stuff there. But where do you stop? Like, what can't you buy secondhand? Can you give me
I wouldn't buy shoes. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't buy shoes. No. And you own 300 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, because all you first just. Hand. Well, ask. I mean, we can't. But Princess Di famously told the story of when Fergie borrowed some shoes of hers and then apparently gave her, like, foot wart or something.
Oh. Is that a story?
That's a story.
Wow. That's a great story.
But
Did she get off that businessman who was licking her toes? Fergie.
Oh, no.
Been a 25-year-old buddy. Wow.
Okay, so what do you want to know? You want a ruling.
What's the limit on when you're buying secondhand? What can you carry? Like, you don't get up, surely. I just showed you that photo. I was driving down a street in West End. There was 27 mattresses outside a house.
Mm-hmm. What's going on in there?
You don't buy a mattress.
What is going on in there?
You don't buy a pillow, I would figure.
No.
What's the limit?
I think I've got the same pillow from when I was three. I didn't know. My wife told me they have an expiry date.
All right.
Yeah, they do. No.
I'm even thinking about necklace, like anything anyone's worn. Is it all right now?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, jewellery.
Jewellery is.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Why?
Okay, but let's extend that. Let's extend that out. What do you think is going to happen to you?
Well, I'd never thought about it until I started thinking about this. Because as I said, my standards are low. I'll do anything.
Yeah, you will. Chucky of Buchan, how low do you go?
You can't buy secondhand hats.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marto. What did you buy?
I bought my son that same day a secondhand Akubra, and he wears it every day to work.
You can't wash them. And what's been living in people's hair? All sort of critters.
Yeah.
You spray it with the Bagon, I suppose.
Did you tell Haz that you bought a secondhand Akubra? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's gone in with full knowledge.
Oh, he's put more sweat on it than they would have.
Good. Brian of Redcliffe, what can't you buy secondhand?
Well, I'm a bit of a sporting nut. I love buying sporting equipment, and I was just thinking about it. You know, like batting pads are fine.
Oh,
wicket-keeping gloves are fine.
Oh, no.
Your batting gloves are fine.
Yes.
And your thigh pad's fine, but you cannot buy a second-hand box.
Really? What about Aaron Finch's from this test series? He was only out there for about 3 minutes.
Okay, there's one exception.
Look like soap holders.
Brian, what about the Specsavers ad where the guy puts an avocado in there?
Isn't that gold?
Best ad.
Thank you, Brian.
Cheers, mate.
And Emma of Torbal. Where's Torbal?
Near Ningi.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll go to the map and show them, Emma. But in the meantime, near Deception Bar, Deception Bar.
So, Emma, tell us, what can you not buy secondhand?
Bed sheets. I would never buy secondhand bed sheets.
Oh,
yeah, that is a bit wrong, isn't
it? It's pretty clear. Yeah, no, it's gross. You don't know what stains are on there. I might not test it.
Have you seen them for sale anywhere?
I think my mother-in-law has. Oh, sorry, my toddler's yelling in the background.
How old is that child in the background?
He's 3.5, and I've got a 2-year-old and a newborn.
Oh, baby. Wow.
What do you have for brekkie? Doing amazingly.
What do you have for brekkie? Cocoa Pops and red cordial?
Oh, God. He was quiet a second ago until I got him in line.
Yeah, that's what happens, Emma. As soon as you get on the phone.
He must disagree. He must think secondhand bed sheets are fine.
Compared to toddler, hold on, Emma. Have we got anything for Emma?
Yeah, and we're going to give your child a set of headphones and put them on the payroll, turn them into an announcer. They're going for it with those vocals. And we're going to send you off to see Cold Pursuit, the pulse-pounding revenge thriller with the unique look that's exciting filmgoers all over the world. It's in cinemas from today. You enjoy that.
Thank you. I could use a
breath. And guys, tell me if you think this is wrong. I think this for secondhand things. Can you get much grosser than this?
Hey.
My grandpa had a liver transplant. Oh, that was in someone else for ages.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
From a house down in London or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast, it's Triple M's Bogan's News.
We go today down to the spiritual home of Bogan News. We're back on the Goldie. Thank you, Gold Coast, for always supplying us with some great Bogan News. And today, the Bogan News is coming from Tank World.
Hunter's dad, Tim, runs Tank World in the Gold Coast hinterland.
Now, you would think Tank World, you're like, oh, what a great business. It might be like a rain storage
tank. Oh, is it one of those tanks?
Yeah. No, it's just a mental bloke with a farm that you can drive a military tank on.
Oh, well, you can actually go in and drive his tank.
Yep, you can just go in and drive his tank. I didn't know you could just put World at the end of something. You know what I mean? If you make it sound like a theme park, all of a sudden it's not a crime. You know what I mean?
It's a world.
It's like the cops knock on my door. Hey, Nick, we've heard you've got explosives in your home. You go, nah, mate, it's Grenadeville. Oh, all right, good to go.
He was sitting on the couch and he just looked at me. Oh, Dad, I swallowed a bullet. We believe the key ring on the end of it actually broke. And so the bullet actually fell to the ground. He had the bullet in his mouth and then he had a drink.
Okay, who's fake.
Now, that's his son. Kid? His son, Hunter.
How old?
Don't know, young enough to be sucking on a bullet keychain. Now, normally if you swallow a bullet, you go, it's all right, mate, it's licorice.
No.
That's fine, true. A licorice bullet. But no, poor Hunter swallowed...
A legit bullet.
My key ring's got a stubby opener on it, but should I be getting a bullet? Is that what everyone has? Does everyone have one of these?
The merch shop in Tank World.
Oh, missing out.
But I'd love to, poor Hunter, he's got the bullet in his mouth and he thought... Well, the next logical step, should I spit it out? No, just have a sip of water.
And he swallowed it.
Are you sure it's water?
He has swallowed. You know what? If your old man's got Tank World, let's be honest.
And he's got a bullet on a can.
The kid's on the can, isn't he? He's on the bullet bourbon cans.
So this kid is now swallowed, and is it in him?
Yep, the bullet is in him. Oh. The bullet's in him, and it gets better.
So pain, he didn't even realise it had come out. His mother actually got the duty to check it out. When they flushed the toilet, it sank to the bottom of the bowl. Oh. And there it was.
The little bullet has gone through him, and it's come out in the toilet. And lucky Hunter got $10 from the poo fairy.
Motor racing fans may have noticed down at Norwell, which is Paul Morris's track down in the cane field south of Brisbane, a supercar Mustang driving around the other day. The photos have been coming out. Everyone's going, oh, wow. People are getting a bit excited. One bloke that knows all about it is a bloke that'll be will have Mustangs in his team. Dick Johnson, V8 legend. How are you, mate?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah. Well, how was the other day? What can you tell us?
Well, you know, that was virtually just a bit of a look at the Mustang, how it's going to look when it hits the track this year. Obviously not in that livery. That's the Ford livery, but certainly when it gets released on Monday next week at Shell in Melbourne, because the Shell livery will be revealed then.
Is it fast? There's so many Mustangs doing the rounds at the moment. Like, you see them at traffic lights. They seem to be the in car for people to buy.
Many?
Yeah, I know.
Well, actually, in the last few months, the Mustangs outsold Commodore, so how good is that? But I think you'll find that, they're a very popular car, always have been. And I think today, I think Scotty's shaking down a brand new one that at Queensland Raceway this afternoon. So we'll just see how it all goes. But
are people allowed to go out there? Are people allowed to go and have a look if they're out that way?
Oh, God, how would I know, mate?
Are you telling me you're not? Are you not going?
You don't work on the gate. Hey, Dick, I'm a 31-year-old who just got his P plates last year. Can I drive this Mustang on green P plates?
You can buy the four-cylinder one, mate. You'd be doing that, yeah.
Are there wankers going around in four-cylinder Mustangs, Dick?
You'd be very surprised. That's the EcoBoost 400, mate. And they actually go like hell.
EcoBoost, that doesn't sound great. It doesn't have quite the grunt of V8, does it? I've got an EcoBoost Mustang.
It just doesn't sound like a V8, does it?
No. So is it going to be competitive, Dick?
It'll be very, very competitive, I think you'll find. I think, we struggled last year with the aerodynamics on the poor old FGX Falcon, which has been around for many, many years. And it still managed to do the job. But, you know, for the Falcon to go out in the style it did, I thought was magnificent, you know, on a winning note.
Hey, Dick, the enormous foils, they're up a long way off the boot of the car. Is that, well, obviously foils provide downward thrust. Why do you need them so big? Are you having worries with the back end?
No. Look, it's all on a quality thing, you know. We go through a series of aero tests that equalise all the cars with the amount of downforce they have, both front and rear. And it's a very, very regulated category of motorsport. And really the only difference in them other than a couple of different engines in the way of, obviously, you've got a Holden engine, you've got a Ford engine, you've got a Nissan engine. But realistically, the rest of the cars are all the same as far as the chassis go and everything else that bolts them.
So that's a differentiator.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I'll give you no idea. Dick, yeah, we had it.
Call a deer with no eyes, you know.
Hey, Dick, we had a chat to you at the end of last year and we wrapped it up before I had a chance to ask you about something. Can I just play you this? Because you're yabbering away with Robin and this came out.
You came and did Nude Day with us.
I certainly do remember that and I thought, geez, you could probably got the best set of boobs I've seen for a while, you know.
Oh, it was a long time ago, Dick. what do you want to bring that to his attention?
What happened?
Well, gravity takes over. That's
right. All right.
Needs the foils.
Yeah, you need more upward thrust. Thank you, Dick. It's been wonderful.
Absolute pleasure, guys.
See you, Dick.
Cheers.
Bye.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
Married at First Sight. We tend to talk about this every day because there are so many life lessons in this show for me and you, Greg Martin, and I'm going to teach you one right now. But first, let's just complete the saga that was Matthew and the fact that he was a 29-year-old virgin.
I got the map out.
Matthew and Lauren.
She was the chosen one.
Right, okay.
What was her qualifications to take his virginity?
Well, she was a makeup artist.
Oh, okay. That's enough.
That helped a lot of blokes. Yeah.
Anyway, in what has happened with this couple is that Matthew met with the blokes and they took the absolute mickey out of him.
Yep. Who told them that?
He did, because that was part of his shtick when they first came together. So then he married Lauren and they, you know, consummated their relationship. Mm. So now the final part of this is he's going back to meet the guys because the cocktail party's
happening. Oh, the honeymoon's over.
The honeymoon's over. And so poor Matthew has to meet up with the blokes. And, of course, what is the first thing they ask him?
How'd you go, mate?
Have you let it out or what?
How's the romance?
Come on, man.
Give us something to chew on here.
You kissed her?
Yeah. Perfect. Good start. That's where it starts.
Yeah, where it starts. He wasn't giving anything
Robin,
away.
I just want to know, you've got two sons?
Yeah, three
sons. Three sons,
boys.
Right.
Yeah.
New husband,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by blokes.
Yeah.
What did you expect those blokes to ask Matthew?
Well, I was hoping that they would be a little more sensitive. They weren't.
What, the same blokes that lambasted him the week
much.
Before?
I was, you know, your girl can live in hope.
I bet you're not one of them asked how long did you...
No. Okay. And if they did, they didn't show it. Thank the Lord. Mm. Okay. The other relationship lesson that we got from last night, and this is super important for any blokes wanting to work out how women tick.
Well, what do you mean?
Okay. So Sam was the guy that got married to Elizabeth and then took off the next day because his ex-girlfriend's mother had apparently died in New Zealand.
Oh, the funeral in New Zealand.
Remember all that?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. One-way ticket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he came back.
Oh.
He was the guest appearance in the... didn't really talk about that. But, of course, Elizabeth was beside herself. She was so upset at being
She's
left.
She's the one with the hair transplant.
The hair extension.
Hair extension.
Yeah. She was really upset. And Sam decided that the great thing to do when your chick is upset with you is to find another bloke and pretty much justify how he was behaving. So this is Sam and Mike.
Let her be furious for a while. She'll go through the motions, just cop it for a bit, do exactly what she's going to do. Yeah. See, I would like if she just forgave you, but I'm quick to forgive. Is that men or is that an individual?
It probably is a men thing, hey?
Yeah.
Logic, you're not emotional, it's more logic.
That's why I think it makes sense.
Emotional, yeah.
You can try and justify your stupid behaviour all you want, the fact you get another bloke to agree with you.
So Mike, was it?
Yeah.
This one here.
Mike
was giving advice to Sam, and also they all give each other advice. They're 10 men who are between the ages of 26 and 40 and are not married. They are complete losers giving each other some advice.
And also Mick as well saying, it's like, you know what, I'd forgive you, I'm quick to forgive. It's like... he's forgiving a bloke that's done nothing wrong to him.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm strong and logical.
So here is
Mick from Gympie. He's able to forgive a lot of things.
Okay, so here is my life lesson to any bloke that thinks that if you've done the wrong thing, you justify it and say that it's logic. That does not work, okay? What you have to do is what Sam actually eventually got to.
So just hold on. So when blokes are arguing with females, don't go sensible or logical.
Well, don't be unemotional. And what I'm saying is,
I make this mistake a lot.
Do what Sam eventually got to and see Elizabeth's reaction.
Did you ever, like, when you were away, just like, oh, I wonder how she's doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just sorry. Honestly, I just want you to know that I'm sorry.
Well, I have to be honest, I'm not expecting you to say that.
Okay, yeah.
Like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I kind of needed to hear first.
Yeah, right.
I know you guys struggle with that one. Yeah.
He just gave up.
I do love how blokes think it's like, should I say sorry?
Yes.
No, I'll just go one way to New Zealand. Yeah. No, the only way out.
Say options. Sorry.
Smoko Shout.
Every Wednesday about 10 o'clock we go out to a worksite around Brisbane and give food and drink to hungry workers. Robin, when we get you a pair of steel cap high heels, you are coming.
Does such a thing exist?
I don't know.
I would love a wedge steel cap.
I'm onto it. In pink.
In pink.
But, yes, oh, you know, I took Nick out yesterday. We had a great old time.
Yeah, I was your apprentice, your Smoko apprentice.
Was it? But now, the name of the place, it hasn't officially opened, so it's a building site in the valley. You know the Brunswick Street Mall where Rick's is at the top end? The cops are at the bottom end of the Brunswick Street Mall. In the middle on the other side is this brand new, it used to be, what was it, a Telstra call centre or something, just this brick building. They virtually demolished the whole guts of it, and they're building, what's it called, Queensland? Oh, God.
Come on, you're supposed to know that.
Yeah, I should have written it down.
Okay, do you want me to Google? What am I Googling?
Google it. Hutchinson. Well, Hutchies are doing the site, and they
decided.
What is it? It's the live music venue. Have we got it on the screen? No, somebody will tell me. I can't even remember. I should have written it.
Yeah, it's Fortitude Music Hall.
Fortitude Music Hall. My God, thank you. And it's going to have 3,500 people. You know how the Trifford can fit 800?
Yes.
This is the next step up. If you're a better band than that, or you can fit more, you go 3,500. If you're better than that, you go to the Swamp, and there's 10,000 or 12,000.
Okay,
if you're better than that, you go to Suncorp Stadium. So
right,
this is
it.
Where that sits.
And it's got a bar in the front. It's going to have a big bar in the front.
It's called Soundgarden.
Soundgarden, that's the one.
So we're in it. It's opening in July. So everyone, if you're interested in live music, you will find yourself at this venue.
The acoustics were unbelievable. Like just being in there yesterday and the sound of those jackhammers. I was like, that sounds good. That is.
Two.
That is.
Oh, there we go. So there's about 40 people working there. So we go out the back and just having a yarn to them. Can I just say, if anyone's got a kid who doesn't know what they're doing in life, I'll tell you a way. Block laying. It's one of the world's hardest jobs, okay? You know, the big blocks. You know,
yeah, like a Besser block.
Besser block. They're really heavy and it's hard work and there's no young people want to do it. And I ran into three champions who just talking to them about being a blocky.
Working bricks or blocks here?
Blocks.
Finding an 18-year-old who wants to be an apprentice blocky, how hard?
Why would they want to do it?
Because they'll always have a job.
Last 6 weeks it's been that flaming hot. Why would you want to stand out in it?
Well, how are you still doing it?
Don't know anything else.
How's your back?
Been doing it since fine.
Yeah.
But since
when
I left
did you
school.
Start it? Left school? When did you start?
Yeah, about 15.
Okay, so where
yeah, I forgot that. It's not a very nice job.
Okay.
It's a tough job.
Do they have dodgy fingers? Like
they don't have fingerprints left.
Ooh.
Because it just rubs all. If you do any block or brickwork for long enough, it rubs all your fingerprints. There's a tip for creams. All right.
Lift heavy blocks for 20 years and then commit any crime you want.
Okay,
now,
no.
Nick, your background in construction?
Very minimal. I'd say no. I've seen construction sites before. That's about as far as I go.
Woken by a jackhammer down the road.
All right. Yeah. So this guy, we turn around. Oh, what was his name? John, I think his name was. Had a whistle around his neck. All right. So
this guy's got a whistle around his neck. What job does he do?
Referee, I reckon.
He's the foreman, isn't he?
No, he's the guy. You know, the crane driver's up the top and he's the one whistles. And they've also got a little radio, but he whistles him to make move the crane a little bit.
Yeah. Wow, he's the whistleblower.
Isn't that amazing? All that technology, a crane lifting tons and tons of stuff up, like so high into the sky.
Heavy.
And still a bloke with a whistle.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.